Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? I believe this is like a month straight I've been late on this podcast, but it seems like I've been going through quite a bit lately. And this week, last week, was probably like one of the worst weeks of my life so far. Not to start off my podcast on a very, very somber, sad note, but we hadn't told people yet, but my wife and I were expecting our second child, and unfortunately, the universe decided otherwise, and we lost our baby. So that's why I didn't have the podcast up last week. It's just, this kind of happened Monday night into Tuesday morning, and we've just been taking care of each other for the last week or so. So I didn't do one. But I want to thank everybody for their thoughts, prayers, you know, emails, Facebook messages. We really appreciate it. But she's doing a lot better. I'm doing better. And right now, I just got to keep her in a good frame of mind and keep her spirits up and, you know, help her get over it, you know, not over, get through it. So, again, thank you for everyone who reached out to us and, had some people drop off food, got flowers and stuff from friends. So we appreciate all that. And, it's been tough, man. It's just, it makes you think about family and, you know, loss and all that kind of stuff. And it's tough, you know, having a child now. And when you're expecting your second, you kind of have a baseline to work with. You know, we look at miles and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, we think about all the fun little things that he's been through so far in his life. You know, only being three, you know, first tooth and, you know, crawling and all that kind of stuff. And we were ready to relive those moments with another baby. And that's no longer the case, at least for the time being. And it's weird, man. It was, you know, after all this happened, you know, and I come back home, my wife is still, she's sleeping, and I'm downstairs on the couch, and it was just a different feel in my home. You know, like just something was missing, even though we hadn't even met this baby yet. You know, we didn't even know the sex, but it's just, it was just something missing. I guess the excitement and the anticipation of another life in the house was gone. And I found that very interesting. Just a different vibe when I came home. Like someone who was here is no longer here, you know? Like if you have someone stay with you for a while, then they leave, it's kind of like, oh, it's kind of quiet. You know, again, even though our child was never here, it's just like their energy was gone. And again, I'm sorry. It's just, I like to be honest and talk about things in my life. And I'm sorry if for those people who are listening, if this is hard, I apologize. But I like to talk through things. And I also had I'm not a very religious person. I try not to bash people's religions. I try to be respectful of people's belief systems. It's only fair. But I did grow up Pentecostal Christian, but I don't really identify as that anymore. But I had a dream. I had a dream Sunday night that I was sitting on these a wooden staircase, and in this staircase, the verse, John 5:4, was carved in these stairs, and I don't know the Bible, I really don't, and I woke up, I was like, oh man, that was pretty weird. I should look that up, and it pretty much just escaped my mind the rest of the day, and probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, as I'm sitting in the waiting room in the ER, I was like, let me look this up. You know, my mind is racing and all this kind of stuff. You know, at that point, I kind of know what's going on, and it's not good. But, and I look it up, and unfortunately, because of the app that I use on my phone to record my podcast, I can't read it verbatim. I could have wrote it down, but I'm down to one hand still too, which is, it's just been difficult. But basically, John 5:4 talks about, and it talks about how like this angel at certain seasons comes down into this pool of water, or certain pools of water, and they stir the water up, and anyone who enters that water after that angel has stirred up this water will pretty much be cured of any ailment or you know, sickness that they may have. And I had a few people talk to me about it, like, oh, you know, that was like the pools at Bathsheba or something like that, Bathsheba. And pretty much if you had anything going on, whether it was physical or a mental ailment, that if you got into this water, that you would be healed from it. Pretty much it's like kind of accepting God into your life, you can be healed. And I found that kind of interesting, that I had this dream the night before, not knowing the Bible, and then, you know, reading that after I got some of the worst news ever. And people, some of my religious friends are like, no, that's not shocking at all. That's God talking to you and stuff. And it's just like, I just find that, it's just like, why do that to me? You know, why? I don't understand that. My grandmother told me not to blame God for this. You know, I believe everything happens for a reason. It just wasn't meant to be. But if it's just like, if this whole thing is true and real, it's like, why would you choose that way to communicate with me? Like, why would you do that? That's like, to me, in my mind, that's like, if I have a friend whose house I really never go over, and they really want me to come over, so they fucking burn my house down so I have to come over. You know? I don't know, man. It's just like, if he wants me to come to him, it's just like, that's not how you get me to like you. You know? That doesn't help. That doesn't make me want to go to church at all. If that's the case, it doesn't. I don't understand how that would draw me towards a supreme being, you know. But I'm not going to blame him for it. But I think that this is a very interesting way to communicate to someone that you would like them to come home, so to speak, and love you and accept them. It's just like, that doesn't work for me. That's counterproductive there, sir. But I appreciate all the prayers and thoughts and vibes, and, you know, so people use all type of words now for your prayer, you know, thoughts, energy, vibes, you know, whatever. But I appreciate thoughts. I appreciate every last one of them. I really do. We do. And we will get through this. And it's been a trying time. Like, I just had surgery. My mom was here for a while to help out, and then my wife was kind of taking care of me. And it's just kind of weird now that I have to be there for her. So it's just like, I'm very appreciative of my wife. You know, I always have been, but when you first get married, you hear older couples talk about how they've been through their ups and downs and all that kind of stuff. And you go, oh, we haven't really been through anything yet, you know, because it's so new. And over time, you know, you kind of go through these ebb and flows. And it's I don't even know the word for it, but just accruing all these life experiences is very interesting. And it's hurtful at times, but I'm hoping that this whole experience it draws my wife and I closer together, you know. So rest in peace to my baby boy or girl. So daddy loves you. And yeah. And again, I'm sorry if I'm bringing people down, but I'll get angrier. But speaking about religion, and shout out to my family, man. My family on both sides, but they really wanted to be here. My dad just had his knee replaced, so my mom couldn't come back out. You know, my sister just had a baby. It's just people have things going on. It's like my whole family is injured right now. But I think this is gonna make my wife and I closer. You know, all three of us, me, her, and Miles, we're going to become a stronger family unit because of this. It's just, you know, it's just like being on a team that's good, but you're really hurt and you got to play. You still got to go out there and put your best foot forward. And that's what I feel like we're doing. And, yeah, we just have to make sure that we take this experience, you know, and find a way to help it bring us closer together. Because I know things like this can really hurt a marriage, and I definitely do not want that. And and so we're gonna do what we have to do and can do to make sure that this is, in the end, a positive learning experience. Even though it's painful, we can learn things about each other and become a stronger marriage unit because of it. But that's all I'll say about that. I know that was very long, but it's just been on my mind the last week or so. So I appreciate you guys listening to that. But like I said, speaking of religion, have you guys seen this so-called? You know what? I will say this about the situation. I am glad that they're not making it seem like there's a national outrage. Like every single person is ready to burn down a Starbucks. But, you know, so they're saying there's some Christians, which is probably more accurate than anything else. There's some Christians are upset that Starbucks isn't going to have their festive Christmas cups this year. Just the regular paper cups, not the, they're still going to have their other stuff, like, you know, the ceramic glass cups and all that kind of stuff. But so they're not doing, you know, the snowflakes and the snowmen and the reindeer and all that kind of stuff. So there's Christians, they just have these red cups. And the guy who designed the cups, he was like, you know, it's just more of a tranquil, supposed to signify the tranquility, the peace of the holidays, you know, the quietness of it. You know, just kind of show some respect, I guess. But in no way, shape, or form was it supposed to be anti-Christian or anti-Jesus. But that's how some of these people took it. And it's just like, you have to be kidding me. It's just like, for years now, people have been talking about how Christmas has been so commercialized and we tend to forget about what Christmas is really all about. And now you're mad that there's a company that's kind of showing some respect to the holidays and not really going overboard with with making a commercial, and you get upset. I get it. Christians take shit in this country, but I mean, some of these people act like they're being persecuted. I mean, like some people in Syria, there's people who've had their children cut in half. People have been murdered. Literally on camera, on fucking GoPros. They're putting people in cages and drowning them and recording it with GoPros and making like these Hollywood edited videos as recruiting videos or just propaganda films. That's being persecuted. Being tied up, put into a car, and have that car shot with RPGs. That's being persecuted. And again, having that shit filmed like you're making a movie, that's being persecuted. And then you have this preacher, and this is the same guy that months ago got all mad about, you know, them approving gay marriage. And he had his guns and all this kind of stuff, talking about they better not come try to do stuff to him because he's going to fight to the death. And here he is making this video, talking all this stuff about how Starbucks is anti-Christian and they're trying to take Jesus out of this and that. It's just like, that's their company, man. They can do whatever they want to do. Just like anytime all these Christians get together and they support these shitty fucking pizza parlors that want to come out and make their anti-gay statements just because they're probably going under and they know that people are going to jump on the bandwagon and donate money to them. Just like when Chick-fil-A came out and said all their stuff about how their non-beliefs in homosexuality, you supported them. Hobby Lobby, you supported them, talking about, hey, that's their right as a company. They can do whatever they want to do. But you seem to forget that when things go the other way. You don't fucking own Starbucks. If they don't, even if they were anti-Christmas, that's their fucking business. And the thing is, you're not going to do anything about it. You know what this preacher's guy's big epic, his epic revenge was on the video? He told them that his name was Merry Christmas, so they had to put Merry Christmas on the cups. Then this fucking asshole goes on to say that he's encouraging other Christians to go out and do the same thing. Go to Starbucks and tell them your name is Merry Christmas. Just so they so you can trick them into putting Merry Christmas on the cup. It's just like, you're still giving them your business. How are you hurting them? The thing is, you can't hurt them. They don't care if you don't come. And no one else does because Starbucks is always crowded anyway. You're just making it easier for other people. Starbucks does not care if you don't come. And the thing is, you're still going to go. You might be mad now, but you're still going to eat there. You're still going to drink their coffee. Like, I was pissed at Chick-fil-A. But guess what? From time to time, I fucking go because the shit's good. I will admit that. From time to time, yes, I go. I don't know what they do to it, but it's delicious. You're still going to go to Starbucks. And you're going to look stupid when you got 15 people. You know, I bet you there are so many people across the country that walked into work this morning with their fucking red coffee cup with Merry Christmas on it like they fucking did something. With their crown of thorns on. Like they really accomplished something. Just like all those people who went and watched the interview because they didn't want terrorists to win. They walk out, they got their fucking purple heart on the chest. Their distinguished service cross or distinguished medals for service to your country. You didn't do anything. Nothing. And it sickens me that you have a pastor challenging and wanting Christians to go out and do this. Imploring, encouraging. It's like, why don't you have your people go out and do something positive? Why don't you go feed some homeless people? Why don't you go clothe some homeless people? Why don't you try and go and help people? How is this gonna fix anything? And you're just being hypocritical. Since when is reindeer, snowflakes? What does that have to do with Christmas? What does snowflakes have to do with Christmas? What does reindeer have to do with the birth of Jesus? You complain that it's been commercialized, and then when someone decides to not make it so commercial, you get pissed off. Why does everything always have to be about you? I've talked to people about this. If Christians in this country really want people's respect, they have to start respecting other people. I honestly, a lot of the grief that and shit that Christians get is out of spite. There's people out here, these loudmouth so-called Christians. They go out, they gay bash, all that kind of shit. And guess what? Unfortunately, they speak for all Christianity when I know that's not true. It's time for people who are real Christians, who want to love people, who want to be accepting. Yeah, they know what the Bible says, but they're not trying to push that shit down anybody else's throat. They go out and they just love people and they help. That's fine. I don't care what your religion is. If it makes you a better person and you're going out to help, I'm all for it. But as soon as you start to kind of like judge me for not believing what you want, believing what you believe in, or you, that's when I have an issue. It's like your diet, you know? Hey, that's fine, man, if you eat kale and tofu and all that kind of shit. That's fine. But don't fucking start looking at what I eat. That shit, that works for you. All right? That works for you. I'm not judging what you eat. That's what you like. That's what you like. But it kind of shows me that we really don't. You know, I can't say that we don't have things to complain about in this country. We do. But it's just people don't want to. They don't want to address real shit. Shitty education. Racism. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about that stuff. They'll stand up for this. And that's the thing. Everyone feels like everyone's cause is dumb. I mean, look at the Missouri, that thing going on in Missouri with the University of Missouri, where they were demanding that the president resign, which he finally did. Quite a few racial incidents going on, and he kind of sat back and did nothing about it. And people are like, oh, okay, now you got your pound of flesh, now what? Hey, man, he's the president of the school. You have racial issues going on, racial tensions in your school, and you don't handle it, it's your fucking fault. Sorry. Joe Paterno had little boys get raped in his locker room. You got to know who's in your locker rooms, man. When you're in charge, everybody's got to go. You have to go. That shit that's going on at the other cause where the guy was hiring strippers to come dance, people are going to go. When you're in charge, that's what happens. But people only understand that when they want to. Look at Gene Hardy, the football player, the whole domestic abuse thing that went on. Dallas team didn't care. The NFL didn't care. The woman dropped the charges. He can play. Point blank. It's over. Now, see, people want him fired. People want Gene Hardy to not play football. They want him to lose his job because he's an animal. And you shouldn't hit. I'm not saying that the dude isn't a piece of shit. But I think we need to be consistent across the board. People get upset that Joe Paterno gets fired, and they claim he didn't know shit. But when you know somebody for 40 years, you got to know they're into some weird shit. I'm sorry. They had to give you a sign at some point in time that they were into some weird shit. You already stopped them from working there before because you heard things, and then you let them back. You knew something was going on. Is it Rick Pitino that's going through his thing now? I think it is Rick Pitino. It's one of the other college basketball coaches. He know what the fuck was going on. But they say, hey, don't tell me what you do with these recruits. I don't want to know. They know that they can pull the, hey, man, I had no idea card when this stuff comes to light. But he knew some shit was going on. If you have to say, don't tell me, I don't want to know, then you know some nefarious shit's going on. Some illegal shit's going on. So people are upset about this president getting fired. Was he supposed to know everything racist going? Yeah, he should. He should know what's going on his campus. If you're the president of a school, he should know. And they told him, and he didn't handle it right. So they got rid of him. That's how it works. So people are upset about this dude losing his job. But anytime some athlete does some shit off the field, they want them gone. They want them gone. But you got guys like Duck Dynasty, Paula Deen doing shit, saying racist stuff, making comments. And then you get mad when they get suspended. What is what does that have to do with the TV show? What does that have to do with the TV show? If that's the case, then what does him fighting with his wife have to do, or his girlfriend have to do with football? Nothing. They wrote that rule in there to make people happy. And the thing is, the NFL doesn't care. Food Network doesn't care. No network really cares what you do. They don't give a shit. They don't care about black people. They don't give a fuck about women getting beat. They don't care about... They really don't. The only time they start caring is when sponsors start to leave. They don't care about any of that shit. They don't care. The NFL does not give a fuck. As long as you can throw, catch, or tackle people and make them money, they don't care. We've got to be consistent, though. We got to be consistent. You can't hold young black athletes to this one standard where if they make the slightest mistake, then we got to get them out of there. And what it is that people think that their job is so glamorous, they make so much money that they need to live these pristine lives. What do you think is going to happen when you give any 22-year-old dude like $15 million and they're in great shape and you got women chasing them? They're going to do dumb shit. And again, I'm not excusing anybody for hitting a woman. That's some other shit. But that has nothing to do with football. Paula Deen shit had nothing to do with her cooking. Had nothing to do with her TV shows. Same thing with the dude from Duck Dynasty. Nothing. But guess what? When you work for certain people, you need to carry yourself a certain way. And it's just stunning to me that people can understand that when it comes to sports. You're making the team look bad. Well, you're making their network look bad. It's so funny. They can see that when it comes to million-dollar athletes. People can totally understand it. Now, image is a big thing. And setting the example, that's huge. Those guys, you know, telling them it's a privilege to do what they do. It's a privilege for anybody to be on a TV show. It's not a right. To make that much money for fucking cooking biscuits, that's a fucking privilege. And I get it. That woman worked hard. She cooked her ass off for years and it paid off. Same with these fucking athletes. They worked their ass off to get to where they get. Not many people can do what they do. And it's just funny, you hear people still bitching and complaining about this dude playing. It's like, you know what? They made a ruling. No matter how bad it is, it's fucking over with, man. It's over. There's nothing we can do. Just don't watch the Cowboys. Don't watch them. And the Cowboys aren't going to do shit. Until they start losing money, they don't care. I wish people would understand that. I wish more people would truly understand it. It's just like, you know, when the network fires somebody for saying something gay, racist, whatever, or anti-gay, they truly don't care until the sponsors leave. That shows you right there what they're motivated, what motivates them to act. It has nothing to do with morals. It's all money. That's all it is, man. So, I think I've ranted enough. I got a lot off my chest today. It's been a rough week. So, I'm angry. We have a new Charlottesville comedy page on Facebook. So, if you listen to this and you live in the Charlottesville area, even anybody, just like the page. We need that number to grow, okay? We need that page to have a couple thousand people on it by the end of next year. We gotta get this shit rolling here in Charlottesville. I got some shows coming up, working with Noah Garden Schwartz in December. What else I got? I have my show November 18th at the Southern. If you're in town, check that out. Showtime is at 9:00 for that. And there's a show. That's a show. It's a little bit longer than it usually is. And make sure you guys follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Allan Comedy, ALAN. And that's it. Peace. Thank you.